three solid messages here.
Amen.
Between Sunday school, the 11 o'clock, and the 1 o'clock. There was some conviction, and I was glad of that. The thing that I look for is conviction with people, where God's actually dealing with them. And, you know, I was studying in the Word of God today, and the word Father with a capital F. Mm. 60% of the times it's in the Bible, it's in there 273 times, but 60% of them are in between John and Matthew.
That's right. Yes, sir, it is.
23 times in John 14 alone, almost 10% of the time it's ever said. And Jesus Christ is trying to explain to people how to have a relationship where God is your Father.
That's right. Sure,
and
is.
Not just some God out there floating around or whatever else, he's your Father. You know who he is. How long you see you have that? The Word of God says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what he chose. I believe in preaching.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of people who see church as a conservative social platform. I want my church to be a conservative social platform. What do you mean by that? Place where people can come together, fellowship one with another, and it's a clean place. And the people who come believe in acting right, and doing right, and thinking right. And I like that. But it's, according to the Word of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The truth.
Yes, sir. Yes. That's what it is.
Where God chose to have the truth proclaimed, sent forth. We have people in here who your lives have been absolutely profoundly changed by the preaching of the Word.
Thank the Lord. Yes, thank the Lord.
God has absolutely changed your lives.
Right.
There was a time in this church, and it's not as practical as it was then, where we had people who go to any length to follow preaching. Boy, you go camp in Hamburg and run down to Tennessee and Georgia, wherever you could, and find preaching and such. And I understand that's not quite as practical for some of you as it was. And I'm not saying that disparagingly.
That's right.
There was a time when you didn't have quite the responsibility you do now and such. But I don't ever want the emphasis in this church to be anything but preaching. Okay. And when the King James translators wrote their long dedication to the king, they talked about how they were incited by the preaching. They preached one to another. Okay? And it's the preaching of the cross, foolishness to so many, but the power of God to those who know salvation. There's some of you who still, you stumble, you wonder, have trouble grasping this thing of salvation, what it means. We have people in here, it's taken them years. I wouldn't God it was anything but that. It took years for you to ever really change your mind about who God is and who you are. It took years. What is a person's mind? You look up mind in the Word of God. What does it mean when it says your mind? What's the difference between your mind and your spirit? What's the difference between your heart and your soul? What's the difference? Okay. Your mind is how you have chosen to arrange the facts of your life and the philosophy you have put to them. Okay. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. He took the facts of life, who he was. He's the Almighty God. He's the Creator. He's the maker of the ends of the earth, born onto this earth, but who made himself in the form of a servant. His mind was to be low. His mind was not to exalt himself. That's what he'd done. The Word of God talks about you changing your mind. What is it? Where you look at the facts of life, how you have arranged your opinion of yourself, where you fit, where God fits, and everything else, and God's trying to crack that. God's trying to shatter that. God insists that you shatter that. But I've learned one thing. It seems to be the last thing people will surrender. They'll surrender everything else before they'll give that up. What they honestly, absolutely believe of themselves. And where they think they fit with God. In Acts chapter 27, it talks about the Apostle Paul being in a storm. They had that storm today. They said global warming, but nevertheless, he was in a storm that lasted weeks. And the ship itself began to be in danger. And they did what wise men would do. Finally, they threw over all the goods on the ship, the cargo. What's that mean? Well, it didn't cost the owner of the ship anything other than he's not going to get paid on the other end for that cargo. But he still got his ship, okay? And things still went bad, and they began to throw out the tackling. Now, that's big money. You know, think of somebody maybe's got a fleet of 18-wheelers and such, what he paid, or a farmer that's got three or four heavy-duty tractors or equipment or something of that sort. You're looking at huge money for that. And slowly they began to throw out more and more valuable things and throw them out. And finally the point came where Paul said, the ship's going down. You're losing the ship itself. Throw yourself into the sea. God will save you, but you have to throw out the ship. And I've watched that thing with people in their own lives and what they'll throw out. You throw this out, you throw that out, you throw this out, you throw that out. God's trying to get to the very ship itself, you, yourself, what you think of yourself, what you think of God. And he's trying to shatter that where you let go of it all and trust Jesus Christ himself. His opinion of you, his future for you, his desires, his will for you, and naught else but that. With nothing but contempt for your own. And it's been my experience that it's a very difficult thing to bring people to that point. Very difficult. Brother McVeigh's going to come here and preach in a bit. Now, I've done things a little bit different this week. We actually took a second collection yesterday. I have been using those boxes out there, but I'll be honest with you, we haven't done real well with those boxes lately. Mm-hmm. We just haven't. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, we'll pass the plate. Thursday and Friday, we're not going to pass it tonight. We're not going to pass it on Tuesday. Okay? Most of the time, we're just all the same old people looking at each other, and you try to find a dollar bill or something, stick it in there. And I do. I don't know about you, but I do. You know, try to look like I put something in there. But, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll try to pick up whatever you're able to set aside, whatever you're able to put aside. And let me tell you something about money. God uses it. I'll tell you another thing about money. There's people that hate it being talked about in the Word, in the house of God. Hate it.
Yes, sir.
Hate it. Hate it, okay? God doesn't hate it. God loves it being talked about in the house of God. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul wrote to a church and he bragged about some people who, to the riches of their liberality, and he didn't say, you know, they were a rich church doing well and it was good they gave money. He said, no, they were poor. Mm-hmm. They were poor. They were the poor church that gave. The poor church that did it. And I would love nothing more that when the day finally comes when I pass the baton on to another preacher that this church be thought of as the poor church. The poor church that gave. Yes. People out of their own poverty gave liberally. I would love to think that. I'm 63 years old. My accumulated wealth is a 1998 Cadillac. That's my accumulated wealth in life. When I talk about dying and my children splitting my $38, that $38 is pretty doubtful. There is no one in this church who would profit more for this church to stop giving to others, stop taking care of other churches, stop taking care of missionaries physically than I would. Okay? And yet I fear God. Do you really think that we're going to raise up enough money to take care of me in the next 5 or 6 years that all that will turn around? No. But God. Isn't there a God in heaven?
That's right.
Isn't there a God that reigns?
Yes.
Isn't there a God that put down principles? Isn't there a God that said, you behave this way, I'll behave that way? Isn't there? That's right, there is such a God. And I want it known that I have abandoned all to follow that God. And you know what? I screw up a lot. I fail a lot in that. But I have a God that I can continually crawl back to Him. Crawl back to Him and in the bowels of His pity and His love and His care and His holiness. Accepts me back again. Now I have people who get upset over the giving in this church, and some of them, I love them because they're upset because they want to take care of me. And I love them for that. That's the wrong motive. Okay?
That's right. That's right.
It was Peter Cartwright who came from Springfield, Illinois, the same town that Abraham Lincoln came from. They were political enemies. A lot of people don't know that. It was Peter Cartwright that defeated Abraham Lincoln for Congress and took his seat away from him. And they cooperated on a couple things together, but both of them characters in their own right. I can't even imagine what Springfield, Illinois was like in those days. But there was a general store in the town, and Cartwright heard that the owner of the store was angry with him, and he went and confronted him. And the man said, well, I heard you said I don't have a soul. Cartwright said, I'd never say such a thing. He said, you were asleep and I put a silver quarter over your mouth, and that ugly thing that came out to sniff it had to be your soul. I don't want anybody in here to have that kind of reputation. When we give on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'd like to see you do it out of the riches of your liberality. Okay? The Bible word liberal is a good word.
That's right, sure.
Okay? You realize God longs for the day when the churlish is no longer called liberal? We call churlish politicians today liberals. And God longs for the day, says so in the book of Isaiah, where the churl is no longer called a liberal. He longs for that day. We're the liberals. We're liberal with our love, our hearts, our money, our time. And I want to see that continue. Now, I'll let Brother McVeigh have this in a second here. If there's one predominant sin that has hurt this church, it's fornication. And yet I don't think we have anybody who's had a fornicating problem since they've been in this church. But the Apostle Paul said this. He said, he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And if you're a person who came to the house of God and that had not been your problem, thank God from the bottom of your heart that you had been spared that.
Amen.
Because the vast majority of the people who come here suffer, some of them daily, because they committed those things. And it's still imprinted in their flesh. And it's still in their memories. And I doubt there's a week goes by in their life where at some point it wasn't a trouble to them that they had done those things. From the children who things got out of hand with to the older ones, mm-hmm. And I've been praying and asking, Lord, where is the problem? What's going on here? What's the problem? And that's one of the answers he gave me. There's so many people wounded, just wounded. Let me tell you something. God wants to heal those wounds.
Yes, sir. Sure he does.
Right.
But he doesn't have any way to do it other than the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
The mercy of God. And the only way he knows how to give you that is to reason with you. Come, let us reason together. Where he takes the word of God and you yourself reason. Now don't worry about what your other family members think. Some of you have family members who are just out of sorts with God right now. Out of sorts with the house of God. Out of sorts. Some of you yourselves, troubled by other things going on. Maybe troubled with guilt. Maybe today is a day where you could just be willing to just give it all to the Lord. Okay? Surrender every bit of it to him.
Amen.
Brother McVeigh, why don't you go ahead and preach?
I can, yes.
That's fine. Oh, that's fine, brother. It's your pulpit now.